Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 19th of October 2013. I'm your host, of course, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes as we discuss the world of sports. Busy program, heavy football weekend. You have two big-time showdowns in college and the NFL with Clemson, Florida State, Indianapolis, and Denver that I certainly will spend time on. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can hit me up on Facebook.com/TheRealQuinn or follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my website, TheRealGeraldQuinn.com. But before we get to all the football, we start in the heartland of America, the gateway towards the West, the gateway towards the World Series for the fourth time in 10 years. The St. Louis Cardinals take out the Dodgers 9-0, again, advancing to their fourth World Series in 10 years. They're looking for their third title in 8 years. And, you know, there are players in every sport who either step up when the pressure's on or who just don't get the job done when the pressure's on. This is an organization in St. Louis that is a step-up organization, no matter what. I mean, you think about what St. Louis has lost. What St. Louis lost following the 2011, 2012, 2011 season. Okay, Tony La Russa retires. One of the all-time greats as a manager. Three championships. Brought 1-2 in St. Louis. You lose pitching guru and legend, pitching coach Dave Duncan. And then you lose, at the time, the best player in baseball in Albert Pujols. No problem. We'll replace him with a first-year manager, Mike Matheny. We'll replace Dave. We'll replace Walt Jocketty with John Mozeliak. Albert Pujols, you know what? We'll replace you with great pitching and a lineup in where you can't focus in on just one or two hitters. In a lineup where you don't have a one guy over 30 home runs or one guy over 100 RBIs. And all St. Louis has done since that 2011 season and where they won their last championship. They come within one game of making it to the World Series last year. A lot of people thought, despite the fact San Francisco was the best, won the World Championship, that St. Louis was the best team. They blow 3-1 lead. They come back this year and make it to the World Series. And again, they are an organization that is about pitching, player development, and about the name on the front. And I know it sounds corny, but they're about the name on the front versus the name on the back. I mean, that's all it is to it. They are clearly, and I mean clearly, the standard in all of baseball right now. There's no getting around it. I mean, San Francisco is a great organization. Red Sox are a great organization. There are a lot of quality organizations. Tampa Bay is up there, but nobody, Oakland, nobody right now is doing what St. Louis is doing. Year in, year out, they're going to be in playoff contention. they can afford to lose pricey free agents because they develop players. I mean, when you develop players at the level that they're developing, they have six rookie pitchers. I mean, Shelby Miller is a guy who won like 15 games. He's an afterthought in the postseason. You haven't even heard from Shelby Miller in the postseason. He hasn't been a factor. The guy won 15 games in a regular season. On most staffs, he could be either an ace or at worst the number two guy on 99% of the staffs around baseball. You have a rookie in Walker who outpitches the best pitcher in baseball, and a lot of people feel like he's the best pitcher in baseball, Clayton Kershaw. He's a rookie, and he was untouchable in this series. Again, a step up organization. You know that St. Louis is going to be there year in and year out. So, Cardinals will await the winner, of course, Tigers-Red Sox. Tigers-Red Sox will be on, of course, tonight. Back at Fenway. And again, normally, down 3-2, you think, going back to another person's ballpark, you think that's not insurmountable, but very difficult odds. But listen, when you have Scherzer and Verlander, if you're a Tiger fan, you should be feeling pretty good. Though I would lean towards the Red Sox being able to close out the deal. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, a big football program. We'll do NFL picks. We'll look at the ACC game of the year. We'll talk, we'll do the Redskins report, and we'll also talk about, again, the showdown in Indianapolis. Jim Mersey throwing gasoline on the fire with some comments that he made, of course, in regards to Peyton Manning. So we'll have a busy program coming up, though. Players take a stand. We'll talk about that on this morning's headlines. This is the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all of life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, cause there ain't no one for to give you no fame. La 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 la. After 2 days in the desert sun, my skin began to turn red. After 3 days in the desert sun, I was looking at a riverbed. And the story it told of a river that flowed made me sad to think it was dead. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La 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 la.
9 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, 347-215-6180. Bill Russell gets arrested for carrying a gun in a Seattle airport. It was a 38. So I guess you shouldn't be shocked nowadays. It seems like everybody has a gun. unfortunately. But I didn't see, kind of didn't see this coming. Bill Russell. I'm like, geez, Bill, what? I don't know. Did somebody try to ask for his autograph? I mean, Bill, I wouldn't have thought that Bill Russell would be carrying a gun. But, you know, listen, this is what the society we live in right now, you know, everybody seems to have a gun and is prevalent in our society, so it shouldn't be a shock to. Louisville falls to UCF 38-35 at home in a game where they were up 28-14. Now, again, I was surprised by this result. Teddy Bridgewater was never going to win a Heisman, okay? He could be the number one pick in the draft. And Louisville was never going to win a national championship. But I can't take a school seriously. And again, Louisville will always be more of will be about basketball than about football. So I'm not going to go too crazy here. But I don't want to hear, you know, a coach who comes out earlier this season, you know, we're the best team, blah, blah, blah. You lose to UCF, Central Florida. I mean, yeah, are you kidding me? UCF at home with a 14-point lead. I mean, first of all, why is the game even that close? They're unranked. I can't take you seriously. Now, this is going to be Louisville is going to be in the ACC next year, so, you know, they'll be amongst the contenders next year as far as they won't have to worry about having undefeated seasons and worrying about not being left out the national championship pitch. That'll be over after this season. But this is one of the reasons why, you know, these schools where they're back in the day you had Utah or some of these schools that go, you know, Boise State go undefeated, and even Ohio State is going to go undefeated more than likely and get left out of the mix. It's all about who you play, who you beat. But you can't lose a UCF and expect for anybody to take you seriously. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just you can't do it. .347-215-6180 on this edition of the Cyril Coon Review. When we return, the Redskins try to bounce back, and we will look at the ACC Game of the Year, Florida State Clemson. That's coming up, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review. We'll be right back. Edition of the Cyril Coon Review on this 19th of October, as we discuss the world of sports. Of course, a busy football weekend, couple of showdowns, which we certainly will get into before the program is over. But we now focus in on the Washington Redskins, who are coming off a just disappointing night in Dallas as they lost 31-16. A game that was much closer than what the score to indicate. Obviously, some just awful special teams play from the Redskins. And special teams play from the Redskins did them in sloppy play with the 12 penalties. Now they focus in on a home. Now they're home, of course they're home for the first time in a month. They focus in on the Chicago Bears, who come in at 4-2, playing decent, pretty good football. This is the first, I guess, hopefully the first of many season on the line games for the Redskins. Hopefully they have a couple more, because we'll let you know that they're still in contention for a playoff spot. But this is a big one. Redskins, you know, I keep hearing about how weak this division is. Well, eventually it doesn't matter how weak the division is. You got to win some games. You think you're gonna make the playoffs at 5-11? So you got to win some games here. Okay, I mean, I understand Philly and Dallas are both at only 3-3, but still, the Redskins are still three games behind both of those teams, because they've lost to both of them within the division. So the Redskins have to have this game if they want to make the playoffs. I mean, that's all there is to it. They have to have this game. When you look at the fact that after this game, they will have to travel to Denver and then host a very good San Diego passing attack, and a San Diego team that we know on this best day can beat anybody in the league. So, big game for the Redskins. Now, this is not a vintage Chicago defense. This Chicago defense has given up a ton of yardage, a ton of points. They still can turn you over. They still have a game where they can turn you over four times and take two of those and score points off those turnovers. So, you still have to be worrisome of that for the Redskins. And, of course, also you have to be worried. You have to be concerned from a Redskins, if you're a Redskins, about Devin Hester. Now, Devin Hester has not been he's not what he once was as far as a punt returner and a guy who can just – and a guy who, you know, just dominated the special teams a couple years ago. But, again, he's better than Dwayne Harris, okay? So, if a guy like Dwayne Harris can hurt the Redskins – then a guy like Devin Hester can destroy them. I mean, Devin Hester is probably – I think Devin Hester should be in the Hall of Fame before his career is over. So the Redskins are going to have to clean that aspect up. We know Hester can wreck a game. We know the Bears' defense, despite the fact that they give a ton of yardage and give up points, can turn you over at any second. RG3 with the fumbles, this is something that he's going to have to take care of, because the Bears are a type of team that just abuse that. I mean, if you're not careful with the ball, they will take it away. I mean, they've done it better than anybody, basically since Lovie Smith was coaching. They've done it better than anybody in football in terms of causing turnovers. So, but with that standing, if the Redskins can hang on to the football, they should be able to move the ball on the Bears. Now, on the other side, of course, you got to deal with Cutler and now the emergence of Alshon Jeffery, who has been, I mean, I know Brandon Marshall's, their most talented receiver. We know this, but Alshon Jeffery has been the guy for the Chicago Bears. He's having a tremendous season. He's a big physical receiver, similar to Brandon Marshall. You combine that with Martellus Bennett, who's an athletic tight end. The Bears have some weapons. Matt Forte, the Bears have a very good offensive football team. Cutler's playing well this year. So, man, I thought the Redskins defense played excellent considering, the circumstances last week against Dallas. It really held Dallas in check. Only giving up about 213 yards of total offense. They're going to have a similar type performance against the Chicago offense, which can be explosive as well. Again, this is a game. Here's the formula for the Redskins for the next four weeks. You win this game, you get to 2-4. Okay, you split against Denver, San Diego, to go to 3-5. All right, and then you win at Minnesota and at Philadelphia to get to 5-5. That to me is the formula for the Redskins getting back into the playoff mix and getting back into the divisional mix. That's how they get in. That's how, I mean, because nobody's running away with the division. Dallas is not running away with this division. Philly's not running away with this division. So if you can be 5-5 after 10 games, or even, I mean, 4-6 wouldn't be awful, then, you know, then the Redskins should be primed and poised to make a second-half run as, you know, as RG3, you know, gets stronger with the knee, gets more explosive as the defense gets more in tune. But this, I mean, it begins tomorrow. I mean, it begins tomorrow at FedEx. And the Redskins have to have this game. If they don't win this game, then this season's done. And who knows? It could be Mike Shanahan's career as a Washington Redskins head coach could be done. Shanahan, of course, is on his last. It will be next year. Will be Shanahan's last year of his contract, of his 5-year contract. And you would think that Mike Shanahan will not go into 2014 as a lame duck coach. I mean, when you've won 2 Super Bowls, I would think that he would either demand a contract extension or just flat out quit. All right, and then it begs the question: if the Redskins don't make the playoffs this year, which will be considered a disappointment. If you're Daniel Snyder, do you give him that extension? So, some things, you know, certainly this is, I mean, this game could lead towards a number of things, the number of things with the future of this franchise. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, Tigers and Seminoles, we'll talk about that in ACC Showdown. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of The Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. After the 10 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, 347-215-6180. We've been anticipating this game for basically the entire season, especially after Clemson beat Georgia to open the season. Florida State traveling down to Death Valley to play the Clemson Tigers. Clemson, of course, comes in at ranked number 3 in the country, undefeated. Florida State comes in, depending on which poll, ranked, you know, 4 or 5, ranked 5th in the ESPN USA Today poll, undefeated as well, coming off a bye week. These teams, you know, don't like each other, and this even goes back to the Bowden Bowl, you know, with Tommy Bowden and of course, Bobby Bowden, who coached Florida State, of course, all those years, won a couple of national championships. It has been a home-dominated series of late with these two teams. Florida State has not won in Death Valley since 2001, amazingly. And, you know, Death Valley, again, one of the toughest places in the country to win. You look at this game is a huge game for the ACC. to showcase the conference. Right now, the ACC, let's be honest, is on a high right now. And it started back when Clemson took out LSU and took out LSU in a Chick-fil-A Bowl last year, and has carried out throughout this season with what Miami's doing. Even though they're struggling with North Carolina, they're still undefeated. Florida State still being undefeated, and now Clemson coming, you know, and Clemson being, you know, and Clemson being undefeated. You know, ACC right now, I think, you know, those two teams, Florida State and Clemson, both to me have the athletes to deal with and to take on an Alabama or to deal with a Oregon or A&M or any of those big time teams you want to talk about, Ohio State. There's no question in my mind right now that these two teams have the athleticism and the talent to deal with any team in the country. And you haven't been able to say that about an ACC team in a long time, even Virginia Tech. I mean, Virginia Tech, you know, in all due respect to their program, and it has been had Virginia Tech for the majority of this decade, the past decade, has been a legit top 10 program. But when it's come to playing against those teams like at Alabama or at LSU, they just haven't had the athleticism to compete or to beat those teams. These two teams do have that athleticism, and they are led by two tremendous quarterbacks, two of many great college quarterbacks this season. They look like they are, you know, all around when you look at the world of college football right now, in Taj Boyd and Jameis Winston. Now, I mean, you give the edge to Clemson, home field. They had the veteran quarterback. They have a guy who's been in big games. But to me, the ace in the hole for Florida State is Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston is the best player on the field. I think Jameis Winston is going to be he could be a pro right now as a freshman. Probably conventional wisdom says you would pick Clemson, but in my heart of hearts, I think Florida State's going to win the game, to be honest with you. This will be an offensive-dominated game. Make no mistake about it. Both these two teams Florida State's putting 54 points a game on the board. Clemson, you know, not too shabby at around 44 points. Clemson, you want to give a slight edge on defense? Sure. They can get to the quarterback. Florida State has an excellent secondary and a lot of speed on defense. But this will be it's a quarterback. It's going to come down to the quarterbacks. You know, can Jameis Winston handle the pressure of his being on the road hostile environment? And again, this is a place that Florida State has not won since 2001. Should be a great game, prime time, of course, ABC. And again, this is an ACC, which will certainly look totally different last year. But this, what a high note to go out on if you're an ACC fan. And the winner of this game will be in that next slot behind Alabama and Oregon in terms of the national championship pecking order. And even though after the end, and listen, the loser of this game is done as far as winning a national championship. This is clearly, they'll be still in the mix for a BCS game, but this is clearly an elimination game in terms of national championship, in terms of both these teams having national championship aspirations. So you have Florida State, Clemson. You also have some other good games around college football. Stanford looking its wounds after losing to Utah takes on an undefeated UCLA team. Still don't know how good UCLA is. This will be to me a major before they get to Oregon. This will be a major hurdle for them to get over. You'll get a good sense of where they're at by facing an angry Stanford team. You have Missouri and Florida, which should be interesting. Missouri will not have its quarterback, James Franklin. And Texas A&M and Auburn. Auburn, surprisingly, is back in the top 25. They're ranked 24, one of eight SEC teams ranked in the top 25, which is a record. So we'll see where Auburn is at. Johnny Manziel, love him or hate him, is playing out of his mind right now. And is poised probably to be the number one quarterback taken, number one player taken in the 2014 NFL draft. So it should be a great day of college football, headlined, of course, by Clemson and Florida State, and Clemson and Florida State, who not only are going for ACC supremacy, but also for a possible shot at a national championship. When we return, week number 7 in the league with no contract is guaranteed. We'll do NFL picks. We'll also talk about what's going on down in Louisiana with Grambling State. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. We'll be right back. In the league where no contract is guaranteed. Looking for an undefeated week as we embark on the midway point of the NFL season. 7 weeks in the books. We begin in Lambeau Field, home of the Green Bay Packers, the surging Green Bay Packers, winners of 2 straight. Green Bay hosting the dog pound, the Cleveland Browns, who are for 500, have not played yet, played some good football this year, had the moments, have a good defense, don't have a quarterback, but, you know, it's okay. They're 3-3. The line is 10, so you know I had to jump on this game. 10 points is a lot of points, especially for a Green Bay team that, frankly, has had trouble scoring in the last couple of weeks. Green Bay, despite its gaudy numbers in terms of yards per game, top 5, Aaron Rodgers throwing for over 300 yards a game, not putting up big-time scoring numbers. They've had trouble in the red zone. They've had trouble finishing drives. And, of course, they're all banged up with the wideouts. No Randall Cobb. James Jones is questionable. They are running the ball better with Eddie Lacy, who's having an excellent rookie season. But I like this Cleveland defense. Cleveland has a top-10 defense in both passing yards and rushing yards. And I think this game will be closer than people expect it to be. Despite the fact that Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback, I'm sorry, Brandon Whedon is not a quarterback, I think Cleveland stays in the game. Green Bay wins it, but this game will be very close. Say Green Bay 23, Cleveland 20. How about that? So Green Bay wins the game, but Cleveland covers in Lambeau Field. Should be a close game. Game number 2. We travel down to Jacksonville, the home of, well, a football team that hasn't won a game, a football team that is regarded probably as the worst team in all of football. But still, the Jacksonville Jaguars coming off an encouraging performance against the Denver Broncos. They were in the game for the most part. They host the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers coming off a impressive Monday night victory against Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. The line is 7.5. Some places I've seen the line as high as 9. Again, this game was so easy to chase because here we have it, a purposely situation of a letdown game. They're facing a team that can't walk and chew gum, okay? You're coming off your best win of the season, short week. This game had letdown written all over it, as far as I'm concerned. Now, like Cleveland, Jacksonville doesn't have a quarterback. But they do have some weapons on the outside, and Justin Blackmon and Cecil Shorts. Cecil Shorts is questionable, but looking like he should play. I would have to think, as a team that's on the move, on the rise, playing in front of nobody. Playing in front of nobody, basically. That's basically nobody's going to be at the Jacksonville game. That, to me, can suck the wind out of a team. Not so much the home team, but the road team. You know, you're the road team. You're looking for the crowd to hate you, to yell at you, to curse at you. You're looking for some energy. You're looking for some motivation. How do you even get motivation when you can probably hear the conversations of the people, of the 30 people who are in the stands? I'd like San Diego to win this game, but again, like the Cleveland Green Bay game, this will be a field goal game. I really think it's going to be a field goal game. I'll take San Diego 27-24. San Diego wins this game, but very, very close. And remember, it's San Diego. So San Diego on its best day can beat anybody, but on its worst day can lose anybody. So you still have to remember who you're dealing with in terms of the San Diego Chargers. Game number 3. We travel to MetLife Stadium, home of the New York Jets and also the Giants as well, as they take on the New England Patriots, the 5-1 Patriots, the Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork, Danny Amendola-less Patriots. But does it really matter how many injuries the Patriots have? Does it really matter when you have number 12? As long as you have number 12 under center, all is right in the Patriot universe. And that, of course, is the one and only Tom Brady. The Jets have a very good defense. They are almost impossible to run against, giving up only 75 yards on the ground. But again, Tom Brady does not run. He throws. The line is 4. I think I like New England with the points. Stephen Ridley reemerged last week. So the Patriots have the threat to run. The Jets, with a rookie quarterback, are going to struggle offensively. I like the Patriots to win this game. And remember, the Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, is back. He's been cleared to play. How many snaps he gets, who knows, but it's still something else you have to prepare for if you are Rex Ryan and the New York Jets. So I'll take the Patriots 21-14. So, 3 games, 2 dogs, and a favorite. I'll take Cleveland to cover, though Green Bay to win. I'm taking Jacksonville to cover, San Diego to win, and I'm taking New England to win and to cover. Week number 7 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. When we come back, we'll preview the showdown in Indianapolis, Young Lion versus Old Warrior. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this last edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. 30 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. As we discussed the world of sports, of course, a big-time football weekend. If you're a football fan, this is certainly one of the better weekends we've had all season long. Florida State, Clemson, Indianapolis, and Denver. Quick programming note. Next week, you know, I know the NBA season's coming. They've already had some, you know, had a number of preseason games. I haven't watched any of it, by the way. I did watch Derrick Rose. A little bit. So he looks good. Had 32 points last night. So in the game against Indiana, is talking a bit. Is talking a lot. I mean, Derrick, you know, calm down. Like, you know, just calm down. Just calm down. Just go out there. Play a full season healthy, get your team to the postseason, and then go try to take out LeBron. But we will, with that being said, we will have an NBA preview show, and hopefully I'll be joined by my esteemed colleagues, Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn, to preview that. That's coming up on next Friday. So be on the lookout for that as well. That'll be a lot of fun as we preview a big-time and exciting 2013-2014 NBA season. It's going to be a lot of storylines, a lot of things going on in the NBA. But we stick with the league, of course, where no contract is guaranteed. The game of the week, Denver at Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a 7-point underdog, which shows you the respect for Denver. Listen, you're talking about a 4-2 team being a 7-point dog at home. That is a lot of respect for a Denver team. I think too much respect for my liking. I would take Indianapolis with the points, if not Indianapolis to outright win the game. Of course, there's going to be homecoming for one Peyton Manning. And, you know, earlier this week you had Jim Irsay with the comments. We talked about it. We talked about it a lot on the last NFL show. And just, you know, if you're Irsay, it's not so much you have to just shut up, but I mean, you're going to rip a guy who was your franchise for 14 years, and you're going to rip a guy leading into his ceremony. You're honoring him, okay, with a ceremony. It's kind of like Irsay was a, you know, an Indian giver. Like, hey, you know, let me borrow some money, an Indian giver, so it's a Native American giver. Saying PC, politically correct, you know, let me borrow some money, then can I borrow some money after you give him a gift or something? I mean, come on. If you're Jim Irsay, just say Peyton Manning. Just say what Peyton Manning meant to his franchise, how much money he put in your pocket, and leave it at that. Yeah, go comparing him to Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and all these franchises that have won more than one Super Bowl. So a little classless of Jim Irsay, in my opinion, there's been talk that Peyton Manning is not happy about it. You know, even though he's taken the high road publicly, that privately he's annoyed by it. And if he can try to put it to Indianapolis, run up the score, that he will. So that's been the talk around Denver, and again, if I'm Peyton Manning, I'll be annoyed too. I mean, I put 14 years into put 14 years to an organization. We won a championship. We made it to another Super Bowl. We were contenders, basically for, you know, 11 of the 14 years. The 14 years that Peyton Manning was there, the team made the playoffs. 9 of those 14 years, they won 12 games or more. So, you know, if you're Peyton Manning, you have to be annoyed by what Irsay said. As far as the game goes, the question to me is, can Indianapolis generate a pass rush without blitzing? Because if they have to blitz Peyton Manning, I don't think I think their secondary is pretty good, but it's not. They don't have a Seattle Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs type secondary. It's not that good. Okay. So they need to generate pass. And again, it's with most teams in the NFL, but especially them. They need to generate pressure without blitzing Peyton Manning. He will you will chew. Well, I mean, and again, you need to mix it up as well. You can't give Peyton Manning, who's to me the smartest quarterback ever, a steady diet of the same thing. He'll adjust to it. He'll get comfortable, and then he will light you up. So the two things that Indianapolis has to do: one, they have to generate a pass rush, and two, they're going to have to control the time of possession. They're going to have to control the clock. They're going to have to compete, keep Peyton Manning off the field. I mean, that's all there is to it. And, you know, Trent Richardson, Donald Brown, Indianapolis has become more of a run-oriented team this year. They're not throwing the ball as much, trying to protect Andrew Luck. They're going to have to change that a little bit, too. They're going to have to cut Luck loose. They have tremendous weapons on the outside with T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne, and a good tight end in Kobe Fleener. I mean, you have weapons to go to. They're gonna have to open up those weapons. I think minimum going against Denver, you go into a game facing Denver Broncos, having to put up at least 30 points. Okay, minimum 30 points, and you can still lose by two touchdowns to put up 30 points, but at least you give yourself a chance in facing Denver. Putting up 30 points, you're going to have to with this offense. Denver's, you know, averaging over 40 points a game. They had their season low last week against Jacksonville at 35. Okay, that's their season low. So should be a tremendous game. The environment is going to be crazy down in Indianapolis. Again, there's a lot of elements going to this game. You think about it. You have the passing of the torch with Luck, you know, Luck and Manning. Tony Dungy's going to be in the house doing the remember. He coached in Indianapolis at that Super Bowl. He'll be there doing the NBC games. He also, you know, you can throw that into the mix. You have Ursay. You have Ursay, and what will Manning's reaction be to that ceremony? So there's a lot of elements. And plus, the bottom line is it's a hell of a football game. I mean, these are two teams that certainly, I think Indianapolis has the weapons to compete for a Super Bowl, even though I don't think they're not as good as Denver. But I think I think Indianapolis, if they, you know, can, when you have the big time quarterback and improving defense, you know, they are a legit contender coming out of the AFC. And it's a measuring stick for Indianapolis. You're going against the acid test in Peyton Manning, a Denver team that's favored to get to the Super Bowl. So we'll see what Indianapolis is about. I like Denver in the game myself, 34-31. I think this will be a high-scoring game, but I think Denver will come out on top. But I do think Indianapolis covers. I do think Indianapolis covers the spread, covers. I think 7 points. 7 points at home is too many points to me, especially for a team that doesn't play great defense. Now, Denver will be getting back Von Miller. How many snaps he plays, who knows? His conditioning, you don't know that. But again, you're talking about one of the top pass rushers in all football. That certainly will help them and create more of a reason for Indianapolis to have to effectively run the ball and keep Von Miller off Andrew Luck. So should be a great game. Should be a tremendous game down there in Indianapolis, a tremendous environment as well. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about Grambling State and the future of that program. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, 50 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, 347-215-6180. Some notable NFL injuries. Roddy White is out for the Atlanta Falcons. It's just been a injury-ravaged season for the Falcons. Of course, Julio Jones out for the season. Steven Jackson has been out for a while now. So Roddy White missing his first game. I believe this is the first game he's missed of his career. I thought he had played in like 133 straight games. He's out for this particular game. You have also Danny Amendola, what's new, out for New England. Aqib Talib is doubtful for the Patriots. James Jones is questionable for the Packers. We'll see. Probably be a game time decision. As Green Bay's the receiving core is banged up, so it's just a couple of injuries of note in terms of week number seven. Again, it becomes the one thing about the NFL, you know, as we head into November with a couple weeks away, it becomes a war of attrition. As we head into the midway point of the NFL season. Grambling State, of course, the Grambling and Jackson State game, of course, has been canceled. Jackson State's homecoming game, they're going to still do the homecoming, have an intra-squad game. I mean, my goodness. Oh, I wonder how many people that's going to draw. But have an intra-squad game, they'll do the parade and, I guess, the family activities and the whole bit. This is an ugly situation down there. You have a team, a university that is clearly going through some financial issues. HBU teams have been going through some financial difficulties with scholarship reduction and the whole nine for the past couple of years now. They've had some cut scholarships in with Grambling. Players are not happy about travel conditions. They're not happy about Doug Williams getting fired. They refuse, you know, you have players who refused to practice on Wednesday and Thursday. They walked out of a meeting with the president earlier this week. So it's basically mutiny down there in Grambling. And I give these guys a lot of credit because unlike Johnny Manziel or Jameis Winston or, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, these guys are not NFL prospects. I mean, you're not going to see too many guys from Grambling and Jackson and Southern going to the NFL. Now, you'll see some. You know, Doug Williams is a perfect example. But for the most part, you know, they're under scholarship, and that's it. After they're done playing football at Grambling, they'll go into their careers and what have you, with their major and things of that nature. But that'll be it from a football standpoint. These guys have a lot on the line. You know, certainly there's a possibility where I'm sure the school is going to try to use their scholarship, the threat to take away their scholarship as leverage. Hopefully, it doesn't get to that. But this is not just you have to respect them standing up for what they believe in. Doug Williams again taking over the overriding bottom line in the situation too is hard to replace an iconic figure like Eddie Robinson. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that, you know, Eddie Robinson is Eddie Robinson. I mean, that guy was, you know, again, one of the pillars of college football, one of the legendary figures of college football. So, you know, when you combine that with financial, you know, struggles, and with combine that with financial struggles, then a situation like this has a chance to occur. Only 22 players showed up for the bus ride to go to Jackson State, and I'm sure like many college football programs, there's probably 80 to 100 players on every college team, especially when you talk about Division 1A college football teams. So I don't know how this situation gets fixed. As far as what the university is going to do, as far as improving travel conditions, again, clearly there seems to be just a lack of finances with Grambling right now. And again, with a lot of these HBU HBU schools, despite the fact that some of them, that many of them play against, you know, Ohio State and Florida State of the world, or the worlds for financial paydays. But, you know, the thing you have to remember about that is that money does not go – all that money doesn't go towards the athletic programs. That money sort of is spread out amongst, you know, some of that money, you know, probably goes to the science department. I mean, that money is spread out amongst the entire university. So it's not like, you know, Grambling – I believe Grambling played Florida State this year. It's not like they have that payday – goes all towards Grambling football. And matter of fact, it is probably split amongst the athletic department in general. So keep that in mind. When you talk about these big paydays that these schools are getting by playing the Florida States, Ohio States, and, you know, say, Oregons of the world. Also, hopefully this situation can get rectified before the Bayou Classic, which is always one of the great events in college football, down, you know, always on Thanksgiving weekend down in Louisiana, down in Superdome, or the Mercedes Dome, whatever, it's a Superdome, whatever they want to call it down there, you know, where they had the Battle of the Bands, and, you know, it's been a long and storied tradition with that particular game. So hopefully this gets situated before that particular game occurs. Of course, we began the program, though, talking about one of the great step-up organizations in all of sports right now, the premier, the best organization in baseball right now. That's, of course, the St. Louis Cardinals, who advanced to their 19th World Series in their long and just illustrious history. Only the Giants can equal that amount. San Francisco Giants can equal that amount of appearances by a National League team. No team, though, has more championships than the Cardinals out of the National League. They're looking for their 12th World Series, which would be second to the New York Yankees' 27 championships. The Cardinals just get it done. I mean, they just know how to get it done. I mean, they are, of course, the polar opposite of, say, the Atlanta Braves, who always seem to find a way to lose in the first round of the playoffs or lose before they're supposed to lose. Cardinals getting to the playoffs. When the Cardinals get into the playoffs, you know that they're either going to get to the LCS or get to the World Series. That's all there is to it. They go to their fourth World Series in the last 10 years. They destroy the Dodgers 9-0. And really, a game where was turned on one at-bat in terms of Matt Carpenter. The Matt Carpenter at-bat against Kershaw, 11 pitches, he gets a single. Then you have Beltran gets a double, and then the floodgates open for that four-run inning in the third, which decided the game. And, you know, you never thought you would ever see Clayton Kershaw get knocked around like that. Kershaw had been just unbeatable, basically, in the past month. But that was the case last night, as the Cardinals got to him, and then and Waka, who was the LCS MVP in the Cardinals' dominant bullpen, did the rest. You know, they're just a step-up organization. I mean, they just in these big spots, in these playoff series, they just know how to step up and know how to get the job done. And again, they are, to me, they go into the World Series as the favorite. Whether it's against Detroit or Boston, either one, to me, they're going as a favorite. Now, if you're the Cardinals, they won't come out and say this, but if you're the Cardinals, to me, you much rather see Detroit than Boston. I think Boston has a bullpen that can somewhat match up with the Cardinals' bullpen. They are, and then Boston also has a lineup that I think can get to the Cardinals' pitching as well. That can get to the Cardinals' pitching, especially considering how banged up Detroit is right now offensively, with Cabrera being hurting and with Prince Fielder struggling. I mean, they would feast. The Cardinal pitching would feast on that Detroit lineup right now. So look forward to seeing the Cardinals back in the World Series. Also tonight, you will have Boston and Detroit. Boston with a win can get back to the World Series. Detroit trying to extend. Going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Thank you for